Pat Gallagher, who was appointed by Ingham County Circuit Court Judge Richard Garcia as the personal representative of the Rigby estate. The Rigby family, family members, and Kristen Small is one person who we had live in studio talking about this, believes that Gallagher is not helping in a positive fashion. And we wanted to get the law firm's owner and founder, Pat Gallagher, on the program to talk about that. Pat, how are you?
Good. How are you doing, Tony?
I'm doing very well. I appreciate your time. From your perspective, tell us about this story.
Well, our firm was appointed, as we frequently are, by the probate court to serve as successor, or in this case, the personal representative of this estate, because the medical examiner pronounced Mr. Rigby dead, and they needed to deal with his body, which had been in the home for, I think, around 6 weeks before it was discovered during a particularly hot weather month. So it was not a pleasant situation. So we were appointed, and our first mission was to make sure that the body was cremated right away, which we took care of. And then we started to deal with the condition of the home.
Now, the family members said that they have been told by the treasurer's office that they would get access to the house to get out personal belongings, but new locks have been placed on the doors, and they haven't been allowed to do this. What can you tell us about that?
We were directed by the treasurer's office that we could only have access at prearranged times, and they did have the locks changed. We had a letter to that effect from them that was around June 12th, so that made it a little more cumbersome, but we did go ahead and advance the cost to have the electricity turned back on so that windows in the home could be opened and electric fans run continuously to air the place out, because it was really in such a condition that nobody wanted to go in the house because of the smell. Then when we got the letter from the treasurer, it made it more cumbersome dealing with the situation. And also the treasurer made clear in the letter that if we didn't have the personal property out of the home by, I think it was around July 12th, that they would consider the property forfeited to the treasurer. So that changed our plans a little bit on how we had to deal with the property, because our estimate of the value was only around $6,000 of the personal property, and it would have been too expensive to have everything moved to a storage facility and auctioned later.
Okay, from your perspective, has the family had opportune times to get that personal property out of the home?
Well, there was not a lot of time to deal with the personal property, based on the treasurer's position.
All right. Well, the question also brought up by Kristen Small, whose father, Gordon Small, is one of three of Stephen Rigby's first cousin who has come forward as an heir to the property and also wants to contribute in paying the back taxes. They say that publicly in court as well as in the media, they have been called money-grubbing, non-tax-paying type people, and they don't believe that that's proper. What do you think about that?
Well, the tax part, the taxes are assessed against the property, and the property is actually to this day still titled to Steve Rigby's father, Ellis Rigby. Ellis passed away some time ago, and so Steve Rigby was not an owner of the property when he died. The taxes are assessed against the property. No individual is responsible for paying them. It's just if you want to keep your property in Michigan, you have to pay the taxes. And the way the statute works, there was a redemption time that ran out on March 31, 2012, which was right around the time Steve Rigby died. And since the taxes were not paid in full by that date, the title for those taxes vests in the treasurer. The statute's really clear on that. And I know Judge Kennedy has entered an injunction using his equitable power, but it's been the law in the state of Michigan since the 1870s that a court can't use equity to override something that a person's required to do by statute.
Well, Pat,
so I have to
go ahead. I'm sorry.
I have to disagree with Judge Kennedy's decision on this, and I'm sure that the treasurer will continue to litigate that issue with the whoever is going to be handling this for the Rigby family. And then maybe the Court of Appeals will have to decide. But if I have to predict the outcome, I say the treasurer wins this one, and it seems clear to me.
All right, Pat, it would seem that the way to go with this, and I'm just playing devil's advocate, you've got a deceased man here who has property. Why not let his family pay it up, even though it's past due, to keep the property they've had since the 1940s, do a good deed and move forward instead of dealing with all this negative publicity and the cost, the court cost, and the cost to pay you that's being bared by the taxpayers?
Well, we're not paid by the taxpayers. We would get paid whatever money we can recover in the estate, and on this one, there won't be enough money in the estate to cover the expenses we've incurred, which sometimes happens, and that's the way it is. But the position that the small family is taking is that the treasurer should disregard the statute, and I'm certainly not a big fan of taxes. I'm not trying to make the treasurer's argument for him. I'm just saying, as an attorney evaluating positions in this case, I think the statute controls the situation, and a lot of times the outcome of the statute is unfair to someone. And I think I didn't listen to your show if you had the treasurer on earlier. I didn't hear it, but he has a duty to the taxpayers to recover as much money as possible, and I think he's within the scope of the statute on what he's doing. It's one of these unfortunate situations where you have a guy that's disconnected himself really from society, commits suicide around the time the taxes are finally due, and then there's the fallout afterwards.
All right, well, final question for you. I was led to believe from Kristen Small, who here in studio said that this wouldn't even be an issue if this was a property on Baker Street, and that because it's not, in which you and the county would receive a lot more money since it is this property that is on Lake Lansing in Hazlet, where a lot more money would be made, not only for you, but for the county. That's why this is being pursued. How would you respond to that?
Well, I can tell you this, Tony, if I thought we had a realistic chance of getting that property back into the estate, I would definitely do it, because it would help us get paid for the work that we've done and the work that we may have to do in the future. So I look at the situation, can we win this issue or not? My opinion is we can't win this issue. If the small family wants to pursue it on their own, they're welcome to, but I've got to size up the statute and the facts and decide whether it's a winner or a loser. So that's how I make my decision. Remember, we were appointed after March 31, when the title had vested in the treasurer already. We weren't appointed until sometime in mid-May. So from that, Ms. Small's position doesn't make sense to me, because it'd be in our own financial interest to pursue it if I thought it were a winner. Because I don't think it's a winner, it will only incur a lot more expense and time for us that I don't expect we would ever get paid for.
All right, but bottom line, you believe eventually the courts will side with the Ingham County Treasurer's Office?
Yes. If we look at this like anything that we're predicting the outcome and we want to be right in our prediction, I predict the treasurer wins. If we want to hope for the best, that's that the Smalls win. But if you're going to look at the probabilities, I think the treasurer clearly wins this one.
All right, Pat, I appreciate your time so much. Thank you, sir.
No problem. Thanks, Tony.
It's 8:46, currently 64 degrees. You're listening to the Tony Conley Morning Show on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS.